Our speaker on tonight is Brother Lonnie Smith of the Eastside Church of Christ in Winston-Salem. And he's served not only as the minister, he's also an elder for that congregation. He served there for 15 years. However, he's preached the gospel for over 35 years. And we're just thankful for him availing himself to be able to share God's word on tonight. His topic on tonight is the big picture of salvation. The big picture of salvation, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Brother Lonnie, will you tell us about the big picture of salvation? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I thank God for blessing this nationwide gospel call to continue, and thank the committee and Brother Strauss, Brother Brooks, Brother Flounder, and others that have been very active in this effort. We all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the only way that all men can be saved. I titled this lesson tonight, The Big Picture of God's Plan of Salvation, because I think it would be very simple for us to understand what we mean about the big picture. When we think about just normal things of life and even driving a car, we think about all the parts that go in to making that car run and drive. And we would not just take a steering wheel of the car or just the motor of the car and place it by itself. We would not just take two wheels of a car and without those, the four wheels, to make it run. All that makes very sense to us. Even baking a cake, we would not just take the sugar only and give it to our guests, or we would not just take the flour only and give it to our guests. But when it comes to a car, when it comes to the cake, we put all the parts together to make it whole. We think about the big picture plan of salvation of God and how today the religious world has probably just have done what I just suggested that some might do, and hopefully they would not just take one part of God's word and try to make it a whole. But there are pieces of God's plan that we need to look at tonight. So let's look at the first one. The first one that we need to look at is the grace of God. It was mentioned that the key verse tonight is in Titus 2, in verse 11 and 12. It reads that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that to deny ungodly and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. When we think about the word grace, this word means unmerited favor. God has blessed us with his grace and mercy to give us those things that we really do not deserve. God sent his only Son to earth to die for our sins, that we will have life and have it more abundantly. But when you think about Titus 2, verse 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. If you notice that this grace has appeared to everyone, it doesn't matter as Galatians 3:27 says it doesn't matter. In 28, if you're a Jew or Greek, bond or free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. So let's talk about this grace here, and let's make sense of how this grace is a major part of God's big picture plan of salvation. As I mentioned, that grace means unmerited favor. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, notice what it says. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here's a passage here that many would say that has discussion, and there are some that have taken this passage and have not given the big picture of the plan. Notice verse 8 again. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Remember, I just stated in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hasn't appeared to all men. But notice, not grace only, and not faith only. Notice, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, someone may ask the question, you mean to tell me that it's not grace only, and you mean to tell me it's not faith only? The answer is yes. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace, unmerited favor. God is the one that has made his plan out through Christ. Christ died for our sins. We could not die for our sins. It would not have done any good. And someone may say, why? Because we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And it is only through faith, and faith means that we put our trust in God. Now let's talk about this for a moment. What do we mean about faith? Do we mean faith only? And I know there are those that may teach that the only thing you need to do is believe in God's grace and you are saved. But I want to look at a couple of scriptures that makes this known very clearly. If you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verse 5 of Romans chapter 1, and then we're going to look at another verse of scripture in the book of Romans. In Romans 1, verse 5, it says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So someone may ask the question, when it says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, what kind of faith is it talking about? Well, Romans 1:5 says it is obedient faith. The only way that we can receive God's grace is that we must obey his plan of salvation through Christ, as we're going to see later, which is the gospel. Look in Romans 16. Let's jump all the way to the very end of Romans. Romans chapter 16. And let's look at verse 26. It says, but now is made manifest, and by the scripture, of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now, I want to read verse 25 now. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. But now, notice that, verse 26, is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So when we think about how we give access to that grace, it is through the obedience of faith. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 1 and 2, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So how do we have access to the grace of God? It is through faith. What kind of faith? The obedience of faith. And when we think about the obedience of faith, we're looking at the obedience of the gospel. And going back to Ephesians chapter 2, if you notice that it says that it is not of yourselves, verse 8, it is the gift of God. What is the gift of God? The grace. It's not. We cannot do it. Christ paid it all. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. What works? Meritorious works. That means you're trying to save yourself by yourself without any obedience to God. And so many people today have been told, only thing you have to do is call on the Lord in your hearts and you are saved. But that's not the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith is the gospel. Now watch this. Look at the second part of the big picture. Not only do we have the grace of God, but now we must look at the blood of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So let's say it like this. The only way that you and I can remit our sins and be cleansed before God Almighty is by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the grace of God. You see, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, our sins could not be washed away. Let's look at a couple of scriptures that make note of this very thing. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, it says of Jesus, who loved us and washed our sins with his own blood. Jesus washed our sins away with his own blood. In Matthew chapter 26, as Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper, in Matthew 26 and 28, Jesus said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. So the blood of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sin. The only way that you and I can be cleansed and washed and forgiven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's look at one more and let's see how we come in contact with that blood. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, Peter says that we are not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, by the vain conversation received from the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We sing that song, "What can wash away your sins?" Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, a question that many may ask, that I believe will go with the first point about grace, is how do we come in contact with the blood of Jesus? Well, let's look at the obedience of faith of being baptized for the remission of our sins. Let's take Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 again, and let's tie it with Acts 2 and verse 38. If you notice that in Matthew 26 and verse 28, again, it says, Jesus stated, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, what remits our sins? Well, in verse 28, Jesus says, his blood. Well, when does it occur? Well, let's see this. If you have your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's look at verse 36 through 38. Peter was preaching here on the day of Pentecost. And he came to a conclusion after talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 36, he says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And it says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now notice that those on the day of Pentecost, Peter just didn't say that just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. He told them about Christ being Lord and Christ. And the first thing they asked, "What shall we do?" He didn't say, "Come to the Lord and touch the radio. Just believe on him in your heart." In verse 38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now, when you look at that verse, notice what it says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, meaning his authority, for the remission of sin. Well, what did we just read in Matthew 26, 28? "This is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins." What do we read in Acts 2 and verse 38? That we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. So, what washes away our sins? The blood of Christ. When does it occur? When we are baptized in Christ. This is the obedience of faith. The only way that we can receive God's grace is through the obedience of faith. The only way that we can come in contact with the blood of Christ is through baptism. That is the only way. Let's look at another example. Remember I stated Revelation 1 verse 6. Remember that when we stated that Jesus loved us and washed our sins with his own blood? Washed our sins with his own blood? Now look in Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias was told to go to Paul, and he was Saul at the time, but Paul was rehearsing his conversion. And Acts 22:16, Paul states what Ananias said. It says, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." So if you notice that Paul was told that to be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Well, we just read in Revelation 1 verse 6, what washes our sins away? The blood of Christ. When does it occur? In baptism. And it's interesting to note there in that verse that it mentions call on the name of the Lord. And that's a very important phrase that many people use. Some use it correctly and some use it not correctly. Now, what is the correct way of using calling on the name of the Lord? Well, when one obeys the gospel of Jesus Christ, they call on the name of the Lord, and they do exactly what Paul did. He was baptized and washed away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord does not mean grace only. It does not mean faith only. It means that we come to the access of the grace of God through the obedience of faith, through being baptized for the remission of our sins. So far we have looked at two parts of the big picture of God's plan. So let's look at the third part. The third part is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what we have so far is the grace of God, the blood of Christ, and the gospel of Christ. Now someone may ask, what is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. It's good tidings. And we'll talk about this in just a few seconds. It's the good news about Jesus Christ, how he came to die and he was buried and he arose again the third day. If you have your Bible, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now let's look at verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye receive, wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now notice, first of all, Paul says, "I declare unto you the gospel." He said, "This gospel I preached unto you, this gospel you received, this gospel wherein you stand," and then in verse 2, "by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Now notice what he says, what he preached. "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So when we look at the very foundation of the gospel, we're looking at the very work of Jesus. Jesus died, he was buried, and he arose again the third day. This gospel message is supposed to prick the hearts of man, because we realize that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we realize without the works of Jesus, without his sacrifice, and without the crucifixion and the resurrection, there would be no plan of salvation for us. This is very important. And this is why everyone must obey the gospel. Now let's look at a couple of things here. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 that we just looked at, in verse 2, it says, by which also you are saved. Now let's look in Romans chapter 1, 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Notice what it says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So when you look at Romans 1:16, first of all, the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to not some, but everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. But notice it mentions the word salvation. And 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also you are saved. So we must come to a conclusion that the gospel of Jesus Christ saves. It's interesting that it was mentioned in Acts 20, verse 24, Paul said that he received of Jesus Christ the gospel of grace. And he was supposed to testify the gospel of grace. Think about that, the gospel of grace. What is the gospel of grace? You and I didn't come up with the gospel. It is only through God and the works of Jesus that the gospel is made complete. But the point of it is that it saves. Now, let's see how the gospel is worked. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, go there, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Paul says, Jesus, in his great commission to his disciples, says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, here's something that should really, really pop out to you. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2, it says, by which also you are saved, speaking of the gospel. In Romans 1:16, it says, the power of God unto salvation. And now in Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16, to go to the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, did you notice something there about this? That the complete gospel, one believes, and that last step is that one needs to be baptized in order to be saved. Not only that, as we looked at, in order for our sins to be remitted, in order for our sins to be washed away. There are so many that are not doing that. They're only hearing that Jesus died, he was buried, and he arose again the third day. But when you look at the bigger picture and the complete plan, only thing they're doing is believing. As James said about the demons in James 2 and verse 19 and 20, that even the demons believe and tremble. But that's not enough. There needs to be the obedience of faith. So, looking at these 3 points, this is God's plan. His grace, the blood of Christ, the gospel of Christ. When you can understand these 3 important things, you understand his bigger plan. Now, what is our part? That's the question that probably many of us are asking tonight. And we have already touched on much of our plan, but let's look at the real plan of salvation on our part. I made mention at the beginning of the sermon that for by grace are you saved through faith. And I made the point that it is the obedience of faith. Romans 10, verse 13 and following, it says, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard? How then shall they hear in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in whom they have not been preached to? And then it says, well, how can they preach to those that have not been sent? And then it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In Romans 10, 16, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Now, some may take it where they just stop at verse 13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, you must go on, because then it says in verse 16, but all have not obeyed the gospel. In Acts 16, as Paul and Silas taught the Philippian jailer, and you recall that story that Paul and Silas was put in prison. In Acts 16:25, they sung and they prayed to God, and the prisoners heard them, and all of a sudden there was an earthquake, and the bands and the doors was open, and Paul and Silas was there, and that prisoner saw that the bands were loosed, and he was about to take his life, because that was the thing that once they prisoner escaped from the guard, then that guard would be put to death. And Paul yelled out, do thyself no harm, in verse 28, for we're all here. And in verse 29 of Acts 16, it says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Here again, that question. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, think about that. That's where many stop, right there. But we mentioned that belief, faith, means the obedience of faith. So notice what else happened in verse 32 of Acts 16. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and were baptized, he and all his straightway. Now, did you notice what the Philippian jailer did? After hearing the word of the Lord, he repented by washing their stripes and was baptized, he and all his house. This is our part of the gospel. But let's look at it. First, we must hear the gospel. That's what the Philippian jailer did. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believed the gospel. He believed what Paul and Silas said. He repented. He repented by washing their stripes. And then he was baptized for the remission of his sins. There is a fourth part to obeying the gospel, and that is confessing with the mouth that Jesus is Lord. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, we have the story of the Philippian jailer, the eunuch, as Philip was preaching to him. To make the story short, in verse 35, it says that Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And when they went on their way, the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believe with all thy heart, thou mayest." And the eunuch made that great confession that I believe with all my heart, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 10, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So what are the steps to salvation? We must hear the gospel that saves, the gospel of grace. We must believe that gospel. Hebrews 11:6, "For without faith it is impossible to please him. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And then we must repent. Change our minds. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3 and verse 5. Acts 17:30. "At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And then we must confess that Jesus is Lord. And then the last step, as we've been talking about throughout tonight, that one needs to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Well, let's go back over the big picture plan. The big picture plan begins with God's part, his grace, unmerited favor, and then the blood of Jesus Christ and the gospel. We must take hold of all these things in order to be saved. And then our part is that we need to hear the gospel, that message of Jesus that pricks our hearts. We must believe that Jesus saves. We must turn our hearts to God and turn away from our own opinions and the world through repentance. And then we should confess with the mouth that Jesus is Lord. And then the last step is we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Well, what is the total picture? After one is baptized for remission of their sins are remission. Those past sins, everything that you've ever done in your life, doesn't matter how old you are, they are washed away. Not only that, you are added to the Lord's church. The Lord's church, the church that Jesus built, the church that we read about in the New Testament, you are added to the church according to Acts 2 and verse 47. And then as Acts 2 verse 38 says, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 tells us that in whom after that you trusted and heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after that ye believed and was sealed with the Spirit of promise. The big picture of the plan of God is so simple, and I hope that those that were listening tonight, that you will share this message. And for those that have not obeyed the gospel according to the New Testament, we hope that this message have blessed you, that you are willing to investigate more and to seek out in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your time, and may God bless the message of the gospel. And you. Thank you.